right, guys. We are up. Welcome back to yet another episode of American Dudocracy here in the Honey Hut, chilling with the dudes. Throw it over at Kamikaze. What's up, buddy? Changing up the pace.
You know, it's good to be back in the Honey Hut. I think we'll have a little faith discussion.
Right?
It's always enjoyable with the dudes.
Yep.
Mayor
yep.
Dave?
The iron sharpens iron, and definitely you guys are sharper than mine. And that's for sure. It's a beautiful day. And what about you, executive producer Matt? Mic drop. Honey Cut.
Executive Matt.
VP, I keep getting titles.
VIP, VP.
They all pay the same.
Mic drop. Yeah, you've got kind of a list, don't you?
Yeah, sure,
a little list. There's probably a few more, but we'll save those for a non-faith base so we can keep it all legit here. No, man, it's all good. I love being in here, hanging out, and I definitely like discussing the anything faith-based with you guys. You know, between the three of us, the two of you, you know, bouncing discussion and ideas. I love the perspective and the knowledge, man. You guys are great.
And you can't ever know enough, right? Just, yeah, different perspectives on are just helpful. Everyone's got a different take on stuff. Mm-hmm. So I love it.
There is.
This journey, there's people that spend lifetimes and they still don't have it all. That Genesis to Revelation is there's so much to absorb and learn. So,
dude, there's a ton.
Lifetime.
I think even compared to, I mean, back in the day, right? You look at the Pharisees, and now granted, they killed Jesus.
Right? So essentially,
they killed Jesus. So that aside, they had every bit of the Torah memorized. I think everybody, right? Not just the Levites, the priests. I think they kind of all did back then, right? Mm. All Jews, pretty much, if not memorized, you had a really strong understanding of the Torah. Now, granted, the Torah is a much shorter version, the first few Bibles books of the Bible, but that just shows you how much more they spent studying it than even we do now, right?
It's so true, and not all of them had the best of apps either.
You know, the apps, they were so, lacking back then.
Yeah, they didn't seem to have the
stone tablets and, it's
scrolls.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, and reading, it helps to be able to read sometimes.
There you go.
Well, it's a good thing. Reading is recommended, learn how to do that. It helps
when
you're studying.
When you read the Bible, reading is recommended.
Yeah.
Being able to read is a requisite for that.
Yeah.
Being able to read is part of reading the Bible.
I'm sure in that day, if I was part of that group, I'd be etching things out in these caves that kind of looked like men and warriors and shields and things. So I was good at pictures, probably not the reading.
Picture Bible.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'd have never made it as a scribe. We would have never figured out what the Bible said. What is that?
What is this symbol again?
This guy
doodling.
This guy was a doctor.
Yeah. This dude is terrible. What is this? Yeah. You don't need to decipher that. That's a wreck. Talking about understanding and different perspectives. I came across something. That kind of hit me, right? As you work your way through the Bible, and of course, when you read it, everybody reads it a little differently, and I think that's purposeful. But there are things in there when you come across something, the difference between an implicit understanding and an explicit understanding, right? So explicit. The Bible explicitly says certain things in no uncertain terms. It's black and white. It'll explain this, do this, don't do this, do that, right? Love God with all your heart, love each other. Black and white, right? There's no, there's no.
You don't need to define the word with.
What
do you mean with? What does the word with mean when you say with all your heart?
Right. What is all your heart?
Yeah. What is all
your heart or my heart? Or what if my heart is smaller? Or you know, like you can get lost.
Like the shenanigans that we're seeing in culture today.
Oh, right. Right. And I think in our human nature, as at least when I'm reading through, I mean, I come across a lot of things that, you know, can be viewed as controversial, if you will, but a lot of that is implicit understanding. And what do I mean by that is if there's anything in the Bible as you're reading and you come across something that you don't fully understand, or that is a little bit not clarified. And then later on, you come across something that clarifies it. Always rely on the explicit version that you come across versus your implicit version. So we're really good as humans of reading something and trying to turn it and understand it the way we want to possibly understand it, right? And I think that's where a lot of disagreements happen, maybe some separation and division potentially. And, you know, I'm not trying to overcome that by any means, and I don't want to focus on that either. But it's just a tool, right? The tool is, if there's something in there that explicitly calls it out, that should be the standard. And then the implicit stuff, that's where the discussions happen, right? Open the discussion. There's people that study this stuff their whole lives. There's an endless supply.
But just a study Bible has the, you know, the information at the bottom of the page you're reading. Usually it breaks down kind of their thoughts on what that meant. That's a decent place. And if there's cross references, they put that there too. So you can go find where that explicit is, right?
Yeah, right. Right. And then, I mean, you can go into 100 different levels of that alone, you know, the different versions and the different translations and all those things. But the bottom line is, you know, the word is there. The word is the word. And we tend to fall into weird discussions when we rely on our implicit understandings of the word. So with that being said, I guess that's a very long way of, I guess, leading into the discussion of, you know, like the Holy Spirit. And we've talked about the Holy Spirit before. And to me, the Holy Spirit is always, it's pardon the pun, it's like an open book with the Holy Spirit. I feel like there are so many open ends to what the Holy Spirit is and does and how he moves and how he works and what the purpose and how to listen and how to know and identify. So I guess I'm curious to know, like, there's several ways that the Bible calls it out. So I'm curious to know your guys' thoughts on that.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit, I mean, you know, I believe in the Trinity. I think we all do, right? So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is what the King James calls it. But yeah, it's hard to explain. But it's introduced throughout the Old Testament as taking over people, you know, the Spirit overcame them, or they were filled with the Holy Spirit, right? It's so it's mentioned several times in the Old Testament, and then it was actually revealed in the New Testament to all in Acts chapter 2.
Yeah, day of Pentecost.
So the day of Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit kind of went out like wind, and everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit, right? So we have more power than even Jesus did. Jesus said, the counsel will come and you will be able to do more works than I have, or I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but so very powerful. Mm-hmm. I think if we could tap into that and really understand that, I think our faith would go from a 10 or a 20 or whatever you're at, and just times 10, right? And I'm not exaggerating. I truly believe that what we understand and what we comprehend of the Holy Spirit is just so small, right? I think that there's just a massive opportunity there. And that's kind of my goal. Personally, I want to understand more and communicate better with the Holy Spirit inside of me, right? So that's kind of my, but anyway, Dave, what do you think?
Well, I one of the things that, really I've sat down and thought about this is, you know, I know taking here again, another turn a little different, but you know, someday when we are with Jesus and we are able to see exactly how that dynamic works with the Trinity, and the power of the Holy Spirit, I think that we'll understand that at some point, you know, once we reach heaven, of course, but, and we'll look back on our lives and we'll go, oh my gosh, how much power did we really have in our prayer, in our communication, our relationship with the Lord, and some of the things that we could have accomplished if we would have actually dove into this and seen what a difference it makes in the power. Because the Holy Spirit, and you look at the just the word spirit, we live in a fleshly world. We only see flesh, but and there's a whole nother spiritual world that we don't see, another dynamic of dimension, I suppose it would be called. So,
well, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and principalities of this dark world.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but that's what I'm saying is, if we only saw what was happening in that spiritual realm, which I believe the Bible explicitly demands that we stay out of that. And that's where a lot of these occults come from, because they want to bring you into this world. And it's a very different thing. We need to focus, of course, here with the Holy Spirit. Nothing. We're supposed to stay out of those dimensions, if you will.
Well, and I'm okay. So 1 Corinthians 12. So it is with you. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. So the gifts of the Spirit, right? That's you get those through the Spirit, right? It says to eagerly desire those gifts, right? So to your point, once we get to heaven, it's like, oh man, I could have had a V8, right? Mm-hmm. Like, why didn't I just do that? So I want to really learn about the gifts. Like, pray for that, eagerly desire that, right? To make an impact for the kingdom, mm-hmm. right? Because they're all to edify the church, and all of it points to Jesus, right? The Holy Spirit absolutely points to Jesus. Does. Jesus points to God. It's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. So how do we get better at that, right?
excuse me. It's hard to imagine, because here we are, right? Thousands of years later, after the Holy Spirit was sent down by Jesus amongst the believers and within us. So it's hard to imagine what it was like before that.
Mm.
Right? And I think personally, like when I think back to how maybe that was versus how we are now, you know, there's a, I don't know how you guys are or were or growing up and talking with kids nowadays and like children, babies, as soon as they're old enough to talk and speak and think and communicate with you, they know that there's already a connection with God that's there, right? And you can feel it, you can see it, you can feel it. But I think as we grow older, if we grow not in our faith, right, as we kind of work our way through life and things get muddied up and the noise is out there in the world and everything, I think we lose the ability to discern that voice, if that makes sense.
Well, and I think a cause might be traditions, right? We build in traditions and cultures and habits, and we kind of you're weird. Don't mm-hmm. don't do that. That's weird, right? But the Bible says, "Come to me like a children." You know, you want to go to heaven? This is the way to do it. Look at these children,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, be like them.
Simplicity.
Yeah. So don't be
faith.
Tied down to traditions and culture and taboos and whatever. It's, I don't know. I think that's why children are so much easier on the, you know, impressions with the Holy Spirit, because they're not encumbered by the traditions and culture and crap like we are, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why it's so much easier for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, that's the Holy Spirit talking to me right now.
You know, one of the songs that always goes through my head is beautiful song too, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And, you know, if we seek him, it is incredible. The freedom that we have, it's not about, you know, some of these churches that promote all this legalism. I mean, that should never be in the church. And that's what, you know, Jesus came to take away.
Yeah.
Of course, he got crucified for it. But, you know, man-made rules and, you know, you look at some of the religions that take these weird bends because it's like, you know, you're not supposed to wear jewelry, you're supposed to cover your face. And, you know, a woman's not supposed to speak in church. And that had a relevance in that time. And there was a purpose for it being recorded. But, you know, the Spirit is freedom, and we need to pursue all those gifts that point to him, not rules and taboos and so forth. Well, it's a simple message.
Right. I think that's how they did it back in the Old Testament before the Holy Spirit, right? It was all legal. Mm-hmm. It was all rules. Mm-hmm. It was all, you have to do this. Mm-hmm. If you sin, there's this very clear process of what you have to do to get right with God. You have to go sacrifice. You have to go do this, talk to the preacher, mm-hmm. the priest. And so very legal, very, you know, very blocky, very structured, right? And then, yeah, Jesus came and mm-hmm. blew it all up.
And there was a purpose for it then. Before Jesus, you know, came.
Yeah, that was the only path that they had to get right with God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it's an interesting, man, the whole story and the whole way that it goes through. Now, to be honest, like I'm struggling with some of the tradition versus, I guess, the laws, the rules. And that's just my own personal thing, right, as I work my way through it. But it's I think you nailed, I guess, to circle up on what you said, like to seek. I think that's our part. Now there's always the voice and it's always there. God is always there. And the way that somebody said this to me, and I'll repeat it because it was pretty amazing. Like, God is so big that God can't even move because God is everywhere, right? So God is always there. God is everywhere. God is everywhere. So there's nowhere else that God can be. God is. Mm-hmm. So we are there with God no matter where you're at. But it's seeking and listening and not being corrupted or impatient with being able to listen, right? And identify what that is. And it's, I think we overthink it. Personally, I think I overthink a lot of things. I think it's a very simple thing to have faith and to find it and to live in it. And what does that look like? I don't know. It looks like right now, you know, it looks like every day, but it's hard to explain. But once you feel it and you find it, like you know, like it's there. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the, you know, the Holy Spirit is the one thing that I've been trying to study on personally quite a bit, and listening and reading and diving in and, you know, all the other stuff that I've listened to and read and trying to put it all together. But it's still, I find myself at a loss for words on explaining how that is. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's an interesting discussion to me because I'm always open to how other people see it, view it, feel it, hear him.
Yeah. Well, I think you gotta just, it's all in the Bible, right? You have to know the Bible. You have to read the Bible to understand that part of it. But there's just a quick story. If I can, talks about traditions, right? So this guy got a Kentucky prized ham, and he brought it home to cook. I mean, this is really nice prized ham. Brought it home, and his wife cut the end off before she cooked it. And he's like, "What are you doing? You just cut the end off of my prized ham. What are you doing, right?" This is a Zig Ziglar. Zig Ziglar tells this. I speak about Zig Ziglar all the time, but you cut the end of my prize ham. What the heck? So she called her mom. Like, mom, I did this because you do it. Why do you do it? She's like, well, I do it because mama does it, right? So they call grandma, like, grandma, why do you cut the end off the ham? I do it, and my daughter does it, but we don't know why, right? And the grandma said, well, I don't know about you guys, but my pan was too small. So she had to cut it, right? It's just, why do you do certain things, right? If it doesn't match the Bible, question it, right?
It's true.
Look into it, and that kind of hit me like, wow, what am I doing that is tradition that I need to not do? Or maybe I need to do something, you know, I don't know, but if you don't know the Bible, I don't think you, right? So dive into the Bible and look at your traditions, especially religious stuff, and maybe ask that question. Why am I doing that?
It's the ultimate guide, right? There's so much information in there. And if you're seeking and you're working your way through those things, I think that's a great place to be, right? As long as you're not, I think as we as people, like there, I'm a firm believer in this, and I believe more of this every day as I try to learn more. There is so much of it we are not made to fully understand, because that would remove our need of faith. So there comes a point where you either believe and you're going to put that doubt and all of that into your faith, and you're going to believe in that. You know, it's not going to be spelled out, and that's fine. It may in the future. If God wants to show it to you, he will. But when God speaks, you listen. And when God doesn't speak, you should listen. Right?
Oh, that's good.
You know what I mean? It's tough. Like, you think back on your life and all the crazy ideas and plans you had, and like, thank God, God had his plan. Because wow.
Yep.
Wow. But, you know, if you don't yield to that, I guess you don't ever give that the ability to come into fruition, potentially, mm-hmm. right? Because that's, I don't know, like the whole, I guess, free will. I don't want to spin off into another discussion, but it's, you know, that's our duty to seek. Mm-hmm. And so long as you're seeking, the answers come. And I think that's the point. Like, I don't have the best way to explain it at times. I know I don't. But it's, if you just point to the Bible, like, to me, that's the best tool when I'm having trouble explaining. I say, well, here, just read this in the Bible. And then they read whatever that is, and they have the understanding they're going to have. And God will lead them to that understanding that God wants them to have, right? Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit, that's where the Holy Spirit, I think, comes in. And, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is wide and wide and lots of varieties, right? There's, if you're living in that, I mean, you're going to bear fruit that's going to show that you're living in that. And I think that's what you look at, right? Not the words and not the fancy way to say things and not all the craziness and the suit and the tie and, you know, like all that. Don't look at that. Look at the fruit that comes along with that person. And if that fruit aligns with the vine of God, then you know that person is living that, yeah. Right?
Absolutely. And you know, the funny thing is, what you're talking about is we all get pruned, and we all need to, you know, God prunes us so that we can grow and produce that good fruit. You know, if you don't prune your trees, what's going to happen is it's going to basically die off and no fruit. So the seeking and allowing God to prune us is extremely important.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. And revisit and grow and read. Man, stick with it.
Keep seeking. I like that.
Yeah, consistency, man.
And I love your hunger. I love your hunger for the Holy Spirit. And I don't know. I think we could probably spend the rest of our lives, none of us are young anymore, but researching all that and still never understand completely, you know, what exactly the Holy Spirit does, how it works, and so forth. I mean, I've had a lot of people explain to me, you know, you hear through the years, and some of these are terrible examples of what the the Trinity looks like, you know, with, you know, water, you know, vapor is water and ice is a solid, you know, the vapor is a, it's not a solid, you know, ice is a solid and water is what it is, but it's all water.
Right.
So it's really hard to explain how all that dynamic works with the Trinity.
Yeah, I don't think we have words to really describe it here. Right?
You know, like God is the water, Jesus was the was the water manifest in a solid or a human flesh, and then you got the Holy Spirit came and, after him. But anyway.
Well, yeah. I have a hard time just explaining the deity versus the human form of Jesus, let alone the whole Trinity, right? Like, to understand that perfect balance all the time that Jesus is, the human part and the deity, and when that worked and when it was this and when it was that, is phenomenal.
I'll tell you what, one of the things that we were supposed to memorize when we were kids was John 1:1. And it talks about, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus. You can put Jesus as Word. And the Word was God. The Word was God. Same as in the beginning with God. Yeah. All things were made by him, and nothing was made that was made without him. In him was life. And it goes on. That's a powerful. That would be a good one to memorize. We need to do more memorization. But anyway, John 1:1, it kind of explains some of that.
Dude, there's the book of John. The book of John is a pretty large.
That's a chunk.
There's a lot of very valuable things in the book of John. Every word in the book of John. I dug into the book of John. I talked about that too. And I have spun off on a separate book that was just the book of John. And it was like an 18-hour read.
Wow.
To get through that, to just read through that while reading the book of John and putting those two together. And I've done it a couple times now, and I'm still like, what? Wow.
We should do a little bit of a deeper dive in John next time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we should do that. We should pick some sessions on just digging through word line by line, even scripture by scripture of the book of John and talking about that.
Yeah. I just love that because it explains how Jesus was there at the creation of man and everything. Yep. So anyway,
the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
Yep. Yeah.
How we rejected him, you know, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Lived amongst us and we didn't even recognize him.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's fantastic. Oh yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yep.
So,
but get in, read. And how do you, just learn about the Holy Spirit. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a lot. It's a lot.
Yep.
It's never ending. Well, I don't know.
Not on this earth.
Not this time.
Yeah.
It's never ending.
Yeah.
That's a whole other discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So right on, fellas. Well, I guess any final thoughts? Read it, man. Read the Word. If you have not read the Bible, if you have not read it yourself, please read it. Mm-hmm. Don't rely on someone else to tell you. That's the one thing I'll say.
Yeah.
It's worth every minute.
And I guess my parting word would be draw close to him, because we need him so bad, especially in these sketchy times, and draw closer to him, run towards him. Don't run away from him.
Yeah. And earnestly desire, you know, seek him.
There you go.
Look us up.
Yeah. Fair enough, man. I guess with that, fellas,
see you next time.
Been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening.